Okay, get the bach. Today's daf is Ervin, sorry, daf Ayin Ervin, daf Ayin Vav. We left off Ayin Him Beis. We actually got right to the three lines at the bottom. But let's go back to the two dots. Ayin Him Beis towards the bottom. The two dots, because we kind of went quickly through that last Gemara. We read it, but we didn't fully elaborate on it. It says Gemara, V'mo Yishayichidim. We spoke about if you have two chatzeres that are next to each other, and one is within the other one, if they're dwelled in by Yechidim, and we spoke out yesterday from the Rishonim, Yechidim don't just mean a single person. Let's say it's one house, and all the people in that house are joined together. But if there's only one house per chatzer, and that house and all the people joined together, we spoke even further. We spoke if you have, let's say, in the one of the chatzeres has more than one house, but it's all one family, and they're all being supported by the same head of the household, that's also like one big house, that's called Yechidim. By the way, you wouldn't need an Erev in that case. They wouldn't have to join an Erev Chatzeres. Amar Beisif. Tani Rabbi Yehi Shlesh Asurim. Rabbi Yosef said that Rabbi taught, if there's three, was saying two. If there's two people, one in each Chatzer, you have two Chatzeres there. One in each Chatzer, then you don't need to make an Erev. But once there's three, then you would have to make an Erev. Amlu Rabbi, so Rabbi said, like Tetzile. And he didn't make a distinction, by the way. He didn't make a distinction where the two are. Remember, if you have two Chatzeres and there's two people, one in each chatzer, no problem. If there's three people, then it's an issue. That's what he's saying. He didn't make a distinction whether the two people are in the inner chatzer or two people on the outer chatzer. So we'll see. Amar Rav Bivi, like Rav Bivi said, don't listen to Rav Yosef. And the source for this memory was Rebbe, as he quoted, Tani Rebbe, Rebbe Torah, in a brisa, rather, Anam Ritzle, says Rav Bivi, I'm the one who repeated this to Rav Yosef, which made of Adrava, Anam Ritzle, and I taught it to him in the name of Adrava. Hayovani Kurabem Rabin Bechatzaina, and the reason that was no good is because I would call the Rabim Bechitzena, meaning even he's saying two points. First of all, the author wasn't Rebbe; the author was Rav Adab Rav, number one. And number two is he's saying even if when you talk about the three, even if you have one in the inner chutzner and two in the outer chutzner, that's still going to be an issue. Halvani Karbem Rabim Bechitzena. I have an outer chutzner that has many people there. Therefore, it's still going to be an issue. We'll explain there's going to be machlekes in the next line. Says the Marmar Beis of Mary Davram. Rabbi says, Mary Davram, we spoke at this lashon of Mary Davram, he was cured. Rabbi Yosef was sick, so when he had a memory that he was able to get back to correctness, he would be mentioned the idea of Mary Davram. Avram had this amulet around his neck that people used to look at and get cured. Rabbim, Rabbi Yechelvi, the reason why I made a mistake and said it was Tani Rabbim, Tani Rab Rebbe, is because you had said the words Hilva Rani Karabim Rabbim Bechitzayna. I heard Rabbim, I thought Rebbe, that was my confusion. That's what basically explains I made confusion. And we actually spoke about this on the Shir Nev Shabbos. We spoke out that's the source, that the way to pronounce the word Rabbi is Rabbi, not Ribbi, or not even like we say, which is Rebbe. The way to pronounce it is Rabbi. That would have been a source to that way of pronouncing it. Okay, says the Gemara. Shmuel Amar Shmuel Argan says Lo Ilum Mataris Ad Shu Shneim Pnimis Ve'Echa Bichetzena. Well, how's it if it's Alacha?
No, the way Rabbi Yosef says it, it's still the same thing, no matter which way they are.
Yeah, no difference. Correct. Right. No difference. Here's the difference. Here's gonna be the difference right now. Yeah. Absolutely right. With Shmuel Amar, right, that was just a technical issue of who said it and what was said. But now we have the descending view, and here's where we're going to spend the chuluk right now. Shmuel Amar lo'ilum muteris, it's always going to be permissible. These two chatzeres, even if there's three people, will still be mutter, achi shtayim bepanimis v'echa b'chatzeina, until you have two in the inner one and one in the outer one. The idea is very simple. The idea is the whole reason why you have to merge the two chatzeres is because since the inner chatzer has a rite of passage, has a way to walk through the outer chatzer, that requires an Erev now, with not just an Erev, it requires an Erev between the inner and outer Chatzar, meaning the outer Chatzar has to have the inner Chatzar join in their Erev. But we have an exemption that we've spoken out, that when there's only one person in the inner Chatzar, then it's not an issue. When there's only one person in the inner Chatzar, then it's not a problem. One person in the inner Chatzar, and certainly one person in the outer Chatzar, you don't have to worry about the inner Chatzar passing through. So all of a sudden we said, when we have this, the Mishnah said, when you have Yechidim in both Chatzar, it's not an issue. We have a Memra from the question if it's from Rebbe or from Rav Adab Rav was saying it's correctly from, but the Memra saying that when there's three people, then it would be a concern. The question is, where are the three people located? Is it two in the inner and one in the outer? And that would be simple. That makes sense. Once you have two in the inner, the two in the inner already have a din of needing to make an Erev. They take the Teifas Makam, they have a Cheshivas, and the fact that they have rite of passage would make a problem with the outer as well. Then they'd have to have a joint Erev. Right? But what about a case where the three is broken down, where there's one of them inner chutzner and the two on the outer chutzner? They're going to have to make an Erev for themselves, for sure. The outer chutzner has two people there. But would they have to join with the inner in Erev? Or no, since the inner chutzner is only one person, it wouldn't be an issue. We wouldn't have to join an Erev. That's the machlekes. Shmuel saying that dafka, when the
three, when the three is broken down, that there's two in the inner and one in the outer, then they have to make this joint erev between the inner and outer chatzer. But if it's only two in the outer and one in the inner, the outer may need to make their own erev, but they don't have to worry about the inner chatzer. That's Shmuel. Whereas the first version of the memra, which was from Rav Bivi, was saying that he said it from Rav Adam Rava, he holds I would still call it Rabin Bechitzayna, meaning even if there's only one in the inner chatzer and two in the outer chatzer, since I see a Rabin Bechitzayna, even though then you don't have to worry about one person passing through. Once there's a Rabban Bechitzayna, that may lead to confusion, and therefore we're going to require a joint Erev, even with the inner Chatzar, even if it's only one person in the Chatzar, because there's a group, there's already two people in the outer Chatzar. That is the Machlekes. Okay. Omar Rabbi Lazar.
Like we had the whole page before.
Very good. I can't be saying, but no, but the Mice ultimately was saying it's a Gzeira. They both agree. They both agree. The shaila is, are you making a gzeira in the case we have two on the outside, up to the inside? But they both agree when you only have one on the inside, it's not a problem with the lumbus that you're saying. That's correct. So you're not going to make a machlekes between Shmuel and we'll call it that, and Avad Brava, the same machlekes we keep in the part of the Mishnah. Right?
No. I'm saying that it seems like that they flatly agree.
Correct. Correct. Amar Elazar, very good. That's true. Amar Elazar. V'nachri Arik Rabim. Now, if the only person in the inner chatzar was a nachri, and the two in the outer chatzar, the nachri in the inside is a rabim, and meaning in that case, everyone's going to agree, you got to make an adjustment to worry about the nachri. The Mara wonders, why not? Why? Maishe Yisrov Le'asar, why would it be so on the inside, where we have discussion? Yisrov on the inside doesn't answer. And there's a machlekes that, al-Zegzeira, maybe when there's two on the outside, you have to make an adjustment. But everyone agrees, one Yisrov singular on the inside doesn't answer. So why not? The one who knows that he's living alone, Yada, he knows. Man Le'ada, someone who doesn't realize that he's living alone in the Nechatzar, you know what he'll think? Savi Reveiriv. When he sees that they're walking, they're carrying the Adachatzar, he's going to just assume they must have made an adjustment, they must have been Erev. So the whole concern was that when it looks like to others, they'll assume either they know he's living alone, or they'll assume he made an Erev. So nu, Nachinami, Diyadiyada, by a guy too, he who knows, someone who knows that the guy alone is living there will know it's only a guy by himself, and that doesn't, his presence doesn't make an issue. And Elamai Dlayada, one who thinks the guy is living there not alone, he's living there, will not say another Yid there, he thinks someone else living there, Savagur Agure. So what do you do by a guy? Erev Taka doesn't work by a guy, but by a guy we rent his makam. So the person will figure that he rented the place from the guy. So the point is, what's the concern by a guy more than a Yid? That's the Marshall. Why by one Yid alone is there no concern when there's one Yid alone in the Nechatzer, and when there's one guy alone is the essence concern? Answers the Gemara, Stam Nachri Isa to Eger Mifapai. A Nachri talks, he blabbers. If he would have rented out his rights, he would talk about it, he'd make noise about it. And therefore, since Anachri Stam as I talks, so if that was the case, a person's gonna say, if it really was rented, I would have heard about it. I didn't hear about the Nachri renting it out. The person may think there's another Yid living there, and therefore we have our concern, and therefore by a guy, we're gonna automatically agree, everyone's gonna agree, you make a gzeira, and you require making a separate adjustment, an erev, some sort of connection between two chaseras, because, again, an erev, you still have to rent for the guy, but you have to rent it, even though you shouldn't have to rent it, in order to dispel a mistaken notion from an outsider. Now this idea of a nach stam guy, mifi boy, actually comes up in a very side, unrelated, but a very, it's a side point, but they quote our Gemara as a raya to the concept. There's a discussion when a person, we know there's various kulas, that when a person travels, or a person's away from his wife, and nabach, the person doesn't come back. So there's various kulas into testimony as to the person's whereabouts, specifically the person died. Normally people that aren't nemah to say things are nemah to say that the person died. People that aren't nemah to be edim can be edim for this. Part of the reason is because we say that we're machmer on her very much, that if he does come back alive, the book's going to be thrown on her. Her children are mamzerim for the new marriage. She's usher to both husbands now. We're very machmer there on the outcome if the guy comes back alive. So we say, we have a certain trust that we verify, that she's going to verify, that the story will be very strongly proven to be true, that the husband's actually dead. One of the people that are nemet to say a person died is a guy, when a guy's Messiah Lefitumai. A guy's Messiah Lefitumai just says, I saw so-and-so, yeah, I know him, he's dead. I saw him dead. I saw that guy died. If he doesn't know there's any halachic ramifications of the wife being mutter to marry and so on and so forth, he doesn't know about those technical leanings, he's just speaking matter-of-factly, then he's believed. If he's speaking because he knows there's a discussion in the courts whether she's meant to marry, he's not believed. He can't say Eidus. But if he's speaking, he's believed. There's a machlekes. What about when the guy says, I didn't see so-and-so is dead. My friend who also knows him, he saw he was dead. So a guy is being mesiach lefitumai from another guy. Right? So pashas, that works. The Mishraim discussed that it works. But there's a machlekes, the Ran and Taisvas, does it only work if he can say testimony Again, the irony is he's not saying testimony. He's just speaking with Mesech HaVetumai. But if when he gives it over in a way that it indicates that the other guy was also Mesech HaVetumai. Or not? Did you have to be able to? Do you have to be able to gather from his wording that the other guy was Mesiach Lefitumai or not? So the place you want to bring that even according to Ran that he's that you're gathering that's Mesiach Lefitumai, it doesn't have to be so, the most clearest evidence. Why? Because we know we have a concept in the Gemara in Erevin on Daf Ayin Hey Mebeis. Gemara says a guy Mefipai, a guy talks a lot, a guy is very easy with his words, and we could use that as part of leniency to assume. Once we hear the story from the guy about the other guy, again, Ishpa Piyash, to assume that it was in a gather of Mesiach HaVetumai, even if it wasn't as clear, even the Ran requires it should be Mesiach HaVetumai, but the exact description of how Mesiach HaVetumai was is not so, we're not so makban in it, because we have this concept of a guy, Mithi Pai, Mamish, and they quote it as, I forgot which one of the Achreinim, bring it to explain in the Ran, but he quotes it, our Gemara, as a riot to this concept. Okay. I'm ready to Mishmo. So if you have 10 houses, one inside the other, and then you have a chutzner, you have a chutzner outside the 10 houses, and you have a, let's say, a little apartment building that opens to the chutzner. So again, if you have the article, it's great. There's a great picture. The pictures I sent earlier do not have this description, but it's not so complicated. You have 10 houses, one from the other. These are not chutzners, these are houses. So essentially, the 10th house has to walk through 9 houses to get to the chutzner. And the 9th house has to walk through 8 houses, and so on and so forth. Right? So you have 10 houses in a row. When the last of the 10 houses, the one that opens the chutzner, that's abuts the chutzner area. And next to it, let's say a bunch of other apartments, a bunch of the houses, the description of the article brings is one of the little building, but it's not that part's lavdafka. The point is, there are other homes that also open up into this chutzner. So what's the halacha? Pnimi naisines ruve vidai. You know what you gotta do? The inner chutzner has to contribute to the eruv. And that's sufficient. That's enough. Rabbi Echonamar, afilo chitzayin. Even the outer one has to contribute. What's the shiloh here? So we're going to see, it's going to be very relevant coming up in the next few lines, that there's a concept called a base shar. A base shar is a gatehouse. It's a little house that's used, so that's one of the pictures actually that we did post. There's the concept of a base shar is, you can have almost like an entrance way. It's like a real, doesn't have a status of a full-fledged house, because it's used as a way of passage to get into a house. So these houses, even though it seems like they are batim, and there could be people dwelling inside them, since through the house, people use that to get, the only way to get, let's say, into house 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 9, 10, is to go through house number 1, and so on and so forth. Each one of these houses are considered a beis shar, an entranceway to get to a gatehouse to get to the house inside of it. And a gatehouse does not require to be part of the eruv. A gatehouse has a kula and a chumrah. A gatehouse does not require to be part of the eruv. On the flip side, if you put the eruv in a gatehouse, in the chutzner, it doesn't work. So those are going to be two important points for the Gemara. So the first one is what we need right now, which is that the gatehouse does not require to be part of the Erev. So the Rav Yehuda Shmuel said, that the Panini Naisanis Rivadai, the inner house has to contribute, and that's it. Only the inner house, the house that's closest to the chutzner, has to contribute The house that's the furthest from the chutzner, house that's the innermost, that house is not being used as a beis shar, as a gatehouse for any of the other houses. The other 9 houses don't have to go through it. It's the only one that is by itself. You go through the other houses to get to it. That one has to contribute, that's it. But the rest of them don't have to contribute because they have a status of beis shar. That's Shmuel. And Rabbi Yechon says, afil chitzin, even the outer one has to contribute. The Gemara says, chitzin, beis sharu. The chitzin, you have 9 other houses going through the outer house to get into their homes. How can you call that a regular house? It's a beis shar. The Gemara says, you're right. Chitzel shopnimi. The Gemara qualifies the tweaks. Rabbi Yechon meant to say that what we'll call the 9th house in. So not only does the Shmuel said the 10th house in, the last one has to contribute, Rabbi Yechon is adding, even the 9th one has to contribute. He's masking the other 8 are considered houses that people traverse through, don't have to contribute, but the 9th one does have to contribute. The question is why? The 9th one also, the person living in the 10th house walks through it. So why the 9th one have to contribute? Says Mar Maka Mifikos, Machoikis, Marsav Rebeshah, Diyach, Shmei Beshar, Marsav Leshmei Beshar. Machoikis is, if you have a gatehouse that only is servicing one other person, is that called a Beshar or not? The Shmuel says, yes, even though it's servicing only the guy in the 10th house, the mice, the guy in the 10th house, has to walk through the 9th house to get to his house. Therefore, that makes the 9th house as well the beis shar. And therefore, all 9 houses from 1 to 9, according to Shmuel, do not need to join the Erev. Only house number 10 needs to join the Erev. Whereas, according to Rabbi Yochanan, when only one person uses it, that's not enough to give it a shame beis shar. And therefore, the 10th house and the 9th house have to join into the Erev. But the first 8 homes closest to the chutzner that the people walk through, those do not have to join into the Erev. Says Gemara, Marsav Beishar, Deyachish Beishar, Marsav Leish Beishar. Okay. Amar Nachman, Amar Abavu, Amar Rav. Shtei Chatzeres, Ushleisha Batim Beinehem. If you have 2 Chatzeres, and you have in between the 2 Chatzeres, you have 3 Batim. So you have a Chatzer on one end, Chatzer on the other end, and those Chatzers have have other people dwelling into the other homes that open into that chatzer, and you have three houses in the middle. It's actually the first picture that I sent earlier. This is actually on top of that. The first picture I posted, it's the top picture. The top page. It's three on the page. It's the top picture. It's three houses, and there is a chatzer on both sides. Now, what's interesting is the three houses in the middle are really a beis shar to go through and through both ways. To get from one chatzer to the chatzer, right? To go through and through, they really all are beis shars. So what do you do? Look what he says. Zeba derech zeh. This chatzer can go through this house, v'neisen ruvi bezeh, and put his erev in the middle house. V'zeba derech zeh, v'neisen ruvi bezeh. So let's say the chatzer, we'll quote on the right, goes through the house that's closest to it, and puts the Erev, you need to put the Erev somewhere, in the middle house, the middle of the three houses. The Chatzar on the left goes through the house closer to the Chatzar on the left, goes again to the middle, and puts his Erev there as well. So Zeh, both of them essentially are putting their Erev in the middle house. The middle Chatzar, the house themselves, actually are not contributing at all, says the Gemara, top of the Amud, I'm on Vav Malf. Zenas a beishar lezeh, vezenas a beishar lezeh. Have lebayis shemenicha. I'm sorry, have lebayis shemenicha ba'erev. Ve'enzer chlitin as a pas. So the Gemara explains that the three houses actually don't have, the three middle houses in between the chatzers don't have to contribute anything to the erev, and they're still good. Why? Because since the people on the right side are using the outermost house to the right to walk through to get to the middle house, the outer house becomes a base shar, and that doesn't need an erev. And the middle house has an Erev in it. We'll get back to that in a second. When those coming from the left, they use the outermost house to the left to get through to the middle. That outermost also becomes a Beis Shar. So those two outer houses of the three that are Beis Shars, they don't need to have an Erev, we just pointed out before. The middle house is the house where the Erev is being stored. We know, we said this many times exactly, the house where the Erev is being stored, it's simple logic. We said the whole idea of putting food, bread in a house is to make everyone's makom dir that house. The house where the Erev is being stored, that is his makom dira. He's in that house, and therefore that house doesn't have to contribute to the erev. It's a big yisoid. Whenever you have a chatzer and you pull the bread and put it into a specific house, the house where it's being stored, that house need not contribute to the erev. So these three houses won't have to contribute. It's only the people from the other houses in the two chatzeres that want to join together. They're putting in. Oh yeah, by the way, we're connecting. It's just broken out. I think it's fairly obvious. We're connecting both chatzeres here. We're connecting both chatzeres and the house in between, right? I think they picked it up. So in this case, all the other houses, they're putting the Erev into the middle house from both directions, but the three houses in the middle do not have to join into the Erev. Okay. Badaklu Rechava Rabbanan. So Rechava asked Rabbanan, Badak means like he gave a test. He did the following shayla. Shtei chatzeres, ushtei batim b'neihem. If you have two houses, and you have two chatzeres b'tim. So instead of our case, we just have three. Now we have a new case. He's eliminating the middle house. You have two houses. You have two chatzeres with two houses between two chatzeres. And they did a chop. What they did was the chatzer on the right walked through the house closest to it and put the Erev in the house on the left. And the chatzer on the left walked through the house closest to on the left and put the Erev in the house on the right. Zeba derech zeh went through the house closest to it, but put his Erev in the second house. And similarly, the other one did the same thing. So the Shaila is Kano Eruv Eloi. Is the Erev kain or not? What's the Shaila? Mi mashvis lehu legabe hai bias ulegabe dahai beishar ulegabe dahai bias beishar. The Shaila is like this. The in order for it to work, let's focus first on the chutz on the right. In order for the chutz on the right to work, the Erev to work, you have to say that, remember, they're putting the Erev only in the house, the second house, the one away from it. So they're using the house closest to it as a beis shar, and then the further house is the house where you put the Erev, which just has to be kept status of a bias. That's great. It works for that chutzer, that Erev works, as long as you can view the house closest to it as a beis shar, which needs nothing, and the next house afterwards is a proper bias, which has Erev, everything's great. But the problem is, the opposite chutzer, the chutzer on the other side, is doing the exact opposite. It's using the house which you use, which the house on the right, the chutzer on the right, used that house as an Erev, the chutzer on the left is using the house closest to it as the beis shar, and it's using the other house which the first house used as a beis shar, it's using it as the Erev. Could we give each house conflicting statuses? Each house could have a din of beis shar legabe this, and a din of beis bias legabe that, and each Erev is going to work or not? That is the shaila. Clearly these houses would have to have conflicting statuses, and the question really is, by Erev do we allow for such an anomaly that the house will have two different dinim legabe each different Erev in order for each chatzah to be able to carry? Amr Lay, So the Gemara answers, they said to him, Shneim lekana erev. No, it doesn't work. Because my mother shach. I beishar mashmas like, once you give a status of beishar, then Hanai says to Ruvi beishar achzadra, a peset. When it puts the erev in a beishar, achzadra peset, he puts the erev in a gatehouse. Achzadra is like a portico, my peset is like a porch. Like these type of areas that are not real dwelling places. Ain't an erev. It's not considered erev. Even bayis mashmas lu, and I might consider a house. Then come to the bias lem arev. You're going through a house that have erev. Once you call it a house, that house didn't join into the erev, so you got a problem. And if you're calling it a beishar is not a good look destination for the erev. So each house is going to be a stira for the other chutzer, and therefore it doesn't work. Says the Gemara, not so fast. We find the erev and we allow stiras. Says the Gemara, Gishmak Yisayid. Maishnam the Rav, why is it different than Rav Adam or Rav says? Amr Lay, the Shnayim, a person has two people. Amr Lay, Shnayim, sorry. Two people tell one person. Two people tell a guy, save Arvalenu. Go make for us an Erev. Lechad Erev, Alav Mayyan. For one of them, he made the Erev when it was still day, when Shabbos, before Shabbos started, he made the Erev, which is fine as long as the Erev lasts in three Banish Mashas. Ula Acha, Lechad Erev, Alav Banish Mashas. And for the second one, he only put out the Erev by Banish Mashas. But look what happens. Story gets more Gishmak. Zeshir Alav Mayyan, the one whose Erev he put down while still daytime. What happened? Nechal Ruvi Banish Mashas. The Erev was eaten already during Banish Mashas. It was eaten up, was gone during Banish Mashas. None of the Erevs were there from before Banish Mashas to after. The one whose Erev was put down before Shabbos, his Erev was consumed during Banish Mashas. Vizesh Erev El Banish Mashas, the one whose Erev was put down during Banish Mashas, is his last until after, but it didn't start at the beginning, it was only put down during Banish Mashas. Nechal Ruvi Mitzvah Shechach. His Erev was only eaten after Banish Mashas, that part's great. Erev being eaten after Banish Mashas is fine. But it wasn't there for the beginning of Mashmashas. What's halacha? Shneim kanu erev. Both erevs are kind of. Now think for a second. That's a direct contradiction. Mashmashas is a time period that I'm not sure which one it is. But whichever one it is, right, at any point in Mashmashas, if the beginning of Mashmashas was already nighttime, which is why the first erev was good, because it was the erev b'yayim into nighttime, then by the time you put the second erev down, it's already too late. It's already Shabbos. It's too late. And the second Erev is good. That means the first one was gone by nighttime. Yeah, we say both are okay. And what's the idea? The idea is because by Erev, we pass in the Kula. And holding the suffix to our button, we go to the Kula. Now, by the way, what type of Erev are we talking about here? Rashi learned to talk about what? Erev Tchumim. Rashi was talking about Erev Tchumim. That's how Rashi learns. There's a machlekes in the Rishayim, but everyone agrees. Rashi says we're talking about Erev Tchumim, and certainly who I did, we'd say, well, I shouldn't say certainly, we're talking about Erev Tchumim, and there's a discussion, we're clearly trying to apply the same lumdis to our case of Erev Chatzeres as well. We're trying to apply the same lumdis. Others want to say that no, we're talking dafka about Erev Chatzeres, we're talking about dafka about Erev Chatzeres. Part of the machlekes circles around the fact, is there more of a reason to be makel by one over the other? Maybe you only said the kula by one over the other. Just a quick svar, why be makel by Erev Tchumim over Chatzeres, because Erev Tchumim is a pain. It's far, right? Not that the Rabbanim want to eliminate, they don't want to eliminate, they still a geyser. You have to set up the Erev, you have to set up a proper Erev, but because it's further away, it's harder, so there could be more of a capade of the Rabbanim, even if it wasn't done perfectly, it was the Banish Mashas, that's sufficient. Erev Chatzeres is right outside your house. Erev Chatzeres is right in your Chatzer, it's right by your house. Less of a complication to set it up. There could be more reason to be more lenient by Erev Tchumim and then by Erev Chatzeres. Okay, but if that's as Machlekes nor Shainim, is this case of Rava, I really should speak out after the Gemara, because the Gemara is going to make a separate distinction from our case to this case of Rava anyway. But the point is, there's a machlekes in Rava's case. Rava just says Erev. Is he talking about Erev Chatzeres? Or is he talking about Erev Tchumim? We're going to go to Rashi. He's talking about Erev Tchumim. But the lumdus was still bringing that we could have a tar to the sasri. We could have conflicting outcomes that are steerous each other and still let it work. Says the Gemara, there's obvious chilik. Over there in that case, Hachyashta. Hasam Suffolk Imam Suffolk Layla. It's like a Suffolk when the night starts, when the day starts, when the ends. Leimek Ramilsa. It's not noticeable. Meaning each person. His Erev, we could say, it was good. The fact that both are Gersaka Stira, but in any one guy's travel distance, there's no clear, noticeable Stira happening. We're being Makel for both of them. Over here, this house, we're giving the same house a din of Beishar, and at the same time, we're giving a din of bias. You can't do both at the same time. You do both at the same time for different people. That's already a problem. Says the Gemara, Lemin Kermilsa by the Erevin. I'm explaining with Rashi. By Erev Tchumim, over there it's not Min Kermilsa. And who had them, by the way, if it'd be Erev Chatzeres. But the point is, by Erev Tchumim case, it's not Min Kermilsa because each one's getting his own psak. And for his purposes, we say the time that it was there was okay. Aval, even though the two are definitely a steer to each other. We're not switching that. But the point is not Minkara Milsa. However, Aval Hach, in our case, Il Gabi High Bias. If you're calling it a bias for the guy on the right, then you gotta call it a bias for the guy on the left at the same moment. Il Gabi High Beishar, and if you're calling it Beishar for the guy on the left, then the Gabi High Nam Beishar for the guy on the right also it's Beishar. And you're trying to have conflicting statuses at the same moment with the same structure, that's Shver, and therefore you cannot compare, therefore it's not gonna work. So the one who has the Shaila, that's what he's saying, he was testing with that Shaila. They answered with this, they answered it doesn't work. And the Gemara asks, why don't you say, like Rava, that a Tarta Sasri could work by Erevin? And the Gemara makes the deflection, no. They were correct in answering it doesn't work, because over here, the Tarta Sasri's Mintgar Mils is noticeable. You can't compare it to that case, where the Tarta Sasri, the conflicting Stira, is not noticeable. Hadno Chadar, Mavzah, we finished Perak Hadar, which is a very, I mean, all this Perak are very important, but a little more difficult classic Perak in Erevin, dealing with Erev Chatzeris. We continue to top on our topic. Remember, we spoke about before the sixth Perak, that the prior Perakim, except for the end of the fifth Perak, happened to have already circled into Erev Chatzeres, but the prior parak will focus on Erev Tchumim, and the sixth parak starts to focus on Erev Chatzeres, which is much more common in Bezman Hazeh, because Erev Chatzeres is more common, I'm not saying Erev Tchumim is not common, but more common. Now the seventh parak continues on the topic of Erev Chatzeres, but the Mishnah starts with a little bit of a different angle. The discussion over here is, we've touched on this before. So we did have earlier in the prior parak the idea of two chaseiros that are side by side, and we had the cases where they are able to connect each other with Erev. We discussed the cases where they have to, cases where they don't have to. So our mission is going to really elaborate. We touched on different scenarios. Our mission lays out for us the different possibilities. Zokta Mishnah. Chalain shebein bechaseiros. When you have a window between two chatzers. Arba larba, besech asara. You have two criteria. You have to have some sort of opening between the two chatzers. So that was saying the opening, in this case, is a window, which is at least 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim. Besechas are located within 10 tefachim of the ground. So ma'arvim shnayim, you're able to join the two Erevs together, the two chatzers together. Vimrotzim arvin echad. This is the most flexibility. This case, we always discuss a case where there's a full-fledged door, which makes it easier. But the point is, at the minimum, in order to give two chaseres flexibility to either join together in one big Erev, or make separate Erevs and keep separate, you have to have some sort of opening that connects the two. What's the minimum size opening? An opening that is 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim, a window, 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim, which is located within 10 tefachim of the ground. Because once you're above 10 tefachim of the ground, you have a real wall, that's a real machitza, and the window wouldn't be sufficient in that case to be considered an opening to connect the two. So you wouldn't be able to make a joint Erev. This allows to make a joint Erev, but you don't have to, right? In Ratzim Arvin Achad. If they want, they can make a communal Erev, or if they want, they can make Shnayim, two separate Erev, and that's their choices. Interesting lesson. Marvin Shnayim, they make separate Erevs, or they can make one together. Pachas Marba Larba. What if the window is less than 4 tefachim, or it's above 10 tefachim from the ground? In that case, they have to make two separate Erevs. They cannot make one joint Erev, because there's considered a proper wall between them. There's a proper wall between them, and the window is not big enough to create a connection between the two chaseres, and therefore each chaser has to make their own Erev. They cannot make one big joint Erev. Okay. In both these cases, the Mishnah, we're saying they don't have to join together. Shaila is if they're able to join together. Says the Gemara. Let us say our Mishnah is Stamach Shemgamil. We had a Machlaikas earlier this Pesachta, towards, I think it was the first parak we had already. We had a Machlaikas, what is the Shear of Lavud? The Rabbanan say the Shear of Lavud is 3 tefachim. Shemgamil says the Shear of Lavud is 4 tefachim. The fact that we discussed a Mishnah being an opening, being 4 tefachim and 4 tefachim, would seem to indicate, like a Shemgamil, that the Shear of Lavud, anything less than 4 tefachim, is Lavud, is considered connected, and that's why you need to be 4 tefachim big. Go to that button. 3 tefachim should be enough. That's the Gemara's assumption. The Amar, Kol Pachas Ma'arba, Kilavadami. Shugamil says, ain't less than 4 is Lavad. That's why the Shear is 4 by 4, isn't it? Says Amar, no. I feel the same Garbanon. Azgatupi Garbanon, Ledub Shugamil, Elinian Levudin. The Rabbanon argues Shugamil, the Gavi Dinim of Lavad. In general, when we talk about openings, less than 3 tefachim is considered connected. We're talking about general openings to create walls, to create mechitzas. Avlinian Pischa. We're talking over here, it's not just Stam, an opening that's considered not closed off. We need a Pesach that's considered like a point of entry, a port of going from one spot to the other. So in order to be a Pesach, have a Shem Pesach, I feel there's a difference between a spot that's open and not fully closed, you don't have a full wall, and a spot that's called a Pesach. To get a Shem Pesach, if you have 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim, that's sufficient, that's chashiv enough to be an opening. If not, not chashiv enough, so we don't have to make our Mishnah chashiv meal, it could be even like the Rabbanan. Okay, we said the Mishnah, Pachas Ma'arba. Says Gemara, Pshita, Kivin Dar Ma'arba Al-Arba, Pesach Asara, Mamelin Anayadana, to Pachas Marba Lama Asara Lai. The Gemara is very bothered, the last line of the Mishnah. The first line of the Mishnah said, in order to be able to join the two Chatzeres, has to have an opening 4x4, Tvachim, and it's got to be within 10 Tvachim of the ground. Which would indicate that if you don't have those criteria, namely it's less than 4 Tvachim, or it's less than 10 Tvachim of the ground, it doesn't work. Why is the Seifa spelling out for us that which seems to be obvious? Says Gemara, Hakamashmalan, the Chiddush of the Seifa is as follows. Taima, the Kula Malam Asara. The Seifa is there for the Diyak, that the only reason why it would be no good is because the whole thing is above tetvach of the ground. But if the whole thing is not above tetvach of the ground, meaning if this window, just a little part of it, is within tetvach of the ground, then it would be okay. Then they'd be able to, join in and make Maram Shnayim. They can make two separate Erevs, of course. Vimratzu Maram Echad, or they still have the choice to make even one Erev. Says the Martini Lahad Tanah Rabbanan. We talk and learn the way we just explained the Mishnah. We learned it in a Brisa. The Brisa elaborates this Chiddush very clearly. The Brisa actually elaborates it even, the Mar doesn't say too clearly. It seems to be the Brisa is redundant as well. Kula l'malam asar. If you have the window, it's entirely above asar. It doesn't really mean entirely. Look at the next words. It means basically above asar. Umiktsas b'sech asar. But there's a little bit of it at the bottom of this window is within tedvachim. That's going to be sufficient. You can make an Erev, one joint Erev. Even further, kula b'sech, not even further. Kula b'sech asar. If the whole thing's b'sech asar, b'sech b'malam asar, and it drops above asar, Marav Shayim, again, you have a choice to make a double separate Erev, or in Ratz Marav Nechad, you can make one Erev. The point is, we're being the Brisa for the first part of it, where we're saying that's the Chiddush, when most of the windows above Tedvachim and only drops below Tedvachim, that still works, and that's what we spoke out the Seifa to just elaborate that point, to elaborate that nuance. Says the Gemara now on the Brisa question. You told me if most of it's above Tedvachim, but a drop is within Tedvachim, that's sufficient, so then what's the Chiddush of the Seifa where most was within Tedvachim? That's for sure good. Hashta, Kula l'malam asar, we says asar, Amrit Marav Shayim, you can make two separate Erevs, Erevin, or Imratz Marvin Echad, or you can make a joint Erev, Kula B'sech Asara, when the whole window is Kamat, all in B'sech Asara, and only a little bit, M'sech Asara, M'sech drops above Asara, only a little above Asara, but boy, is that a Chiddush? L'chari, that's Kol Shkain from the Reisha of the Bryce. Mar says, you're right, it is Kol Shkain. Zuvein Zerch L'mazuk Tani, the Mish Bryce was teaching in a way of, I'm teaching you this Chiddush, and I don't even have to tell you that Chiddush, which of course, when Zuvein Tzerech L'Mazur means you do still say that second less novel Chiddush, but it's a way to bring out the novelty of the first Chiddush. It's a way to bring out the Chiddush of the first din by saying the second din, which you don't even have to elaborate because it's so pashut. Once you have the first din, the second din is so pashut that brings out the Chiddush of the first din. Okay, now we have an interesting mathematical discussion. This gets to a basic theorem of pi, of how to measure perimeters, squares, and circles. We've already touched on this a few times in the Masechta, so for us it won't be such a new conversation. Amar Bechanan. It's pretty basic regardless. Amar Bechanan. Chalain Agol Tzarech Shebe Kefa Esrav Arba Tvachim. We've established that you need the window to be 4 Tvachim by 4 Tvachim. That we've established. Right? 16 square Tvachim, 16 square Tvachim, you need to be 4 Tvachim by 4 Tvachim. What if you have a round window? How big does the round window have to be? So if you look at the pictures I sent, on the first picture again, on the first page, has three pictures. The middle picture is what we're discussing now. When you have this round window and you need to have a 4 tevach within it, within the 4, you need 4x4 within it. So you know how big it has to be? This Bechan has to be Esrim V'Arba Tvachim. It's got to be 24 Tvachim. The round window has to be a circumference of 24 Tvachim in order to encompass a 4x4 tevach square inside it. The Mar is going to elaborate on in a moment. I actually question it. Ushnaim mashu mehen b'seich asara, and 2 tvachim and a bit of those 24 tvachim have to be within 10 tvachim of the ground. Shem yarbenu, like this, if you square off the inside, make a square inside the circle, nimsa mashu b'seich asara, by having 2.5 tvachim of the circumference towards the bottom, obviously, be within the 10 tvachim of the ground, so then when you square it off, you'll end up having summits within the ground. Rashi seems to learn the 2.5 tvachim. It's pretty clear. Rashi Tosfos asked the question on this. The 2.5 tvachim that was saying of the that have to be within 10 tvachim of the ground means literally 2.5 tvachim of the circumference. If you measure the circumference as 24 tvachim, 2.5 tefach, so you go to the center point at the bottom of the circle, you have a tefach and a change to the right, a tefach and a change to the left. That 2.5 tefach has to be within that tefach on the ground, and like this, when you make a square, it's going to be encompassed. The other Rishonim say it's not true. If you make a square within a circle, you lose the part of the circle that's 2.5 tefachim at the very base is not going to be inside the square at all. The square is going to be totally above that. And therefore, they learn that 2.5 tefachim means, Tosfos learns, it means you measure when you're going, let's say, from when you measure the, let's just say simply, you're measuring the diameter. You measure the diameter of the circle. You're not measuring the circumference anymore. The 24 is talking about the circumference. But then when you talk about 2.5, you're talking about the diameter. The diameter of the circle, when you go from the bottom, let's say to the top, the part that's closest to the ground, towards the top, you have to have that 2.5 tefachim up from the base of the circle is within 10 tefachim of the ground, because the square will be squared off within the circle, and the lowest part of the square is only going to be within 10 tefachim of the ground, as long as you encompass 2.5 tefachim of the circle within the ten vachim from the ground. I mean, so if you just visualize, it's actually fairly much more simple than it sounds. You have your whole circle. The circle has to be, instead of the square has to be a drop. A square has to be a drop within that vachim. By the circle, the bottommost part of the circle has to be 2.5 vachim into below the 10 vachim line, the 10 vachim marker, in order for the square to be within that vachim of the ground. That is how Tosfos explains that. It's a little bit interesting. Maybe you could put that into Rashi, but certainly that's a simple way of reading Rashi. Simple way of reading Rashi is that from the circumference, 2.5 vachim, which the Chayyur doesn't work. Okay.
Is it 2.5 or 2 and a bit?
Yes, 2 and a bit. My mistake. 2 and a bit. Right? Shneimu mashu. Shkayachlim. Yeah, Shneimash. 2 and a bit. Not 2.5. Michti. The Gemara now is going to analyze the mathematics of the 24. So we know the klal is, it's a 3-to-1 ratio. Of course, we know, and we'll touch on this at the end of the conversation, we know the pi is really 3.14. That's the exact measurement. You know, I'll speak out right now, actually. The Rishayim already discusses it. It's not lost upon the Rishayim already. Taisa Rush discusses it, that we know the proper exact measurement is 3.14. They already knew back then that 3-to-1 ratio, when you talk about circumference versus diameter, 3-to-1 ratio is not perfect. It's off by a drop. They discuss either the discrepancy was small and the Gemara didn't want to be medactic on it, or the other halacha seems to be that fakir, that's within the realm, even the kula, within the realm of measurements, as long as it's that close, that's fine. We're makel, that's fine, which is bechidish. So again, it really has to be, you have to measure it perfectly exact, but the Gemara gave us, you know, rounded off numbers. That's one malach. Other malachas know that these, because they're close enough, the Torah was not in the malach Sharis. It's not so simple to get it perfect. This is fine too. This is good too. That's the other malach. Chaz Mishpi spat this already. It was already pointed out by Tessa Rush. This discrepancy, and the Chaz Mish brings it. He has a piece on this and he says that even though it's not exact, it's still going to be okay. We're okay to be off by a little bit, and the halacha will stem. Our Gemara's calculations are not going to get into that nuance of that little bit between 3 and 3.14, just the numbers itself. Even with the number of 3, a ratio of 3-to-1, Rabbi Yechonon's measurement still seems to be way too big. He needs 24 tefachim around in order to get my square 4x4. The rest bothers, you need much less. Let's see. When you have 3-to-1 ratio, so if you need to get 4, the Gemara right away jumps to the smallest share. Yesh b'chav v'tefach, if you have 3, you get a roundness of 3, you get a diameter of 1. So, betrace asagi. If you have a circumference of 12 in the circle, that'll give you a diameter of 4. So, you should be able to have your 4 by 4. Says the Gemara, yeah, it's very nice if you have a cross, so to speak, a 4 by 4, but you're missing the corners. Says the Gemara, hani mili, top of ambez, hani mili bigula, abrivua, that's by a circle. By a circle, you have a 4 by 4 diameter. You're right. When you have a 12 tefach circumference, abrivua being a tvei, but to get the square, you need more. The perimeter of the square is bigger than the perimeter of a circle. So, if you want to encompass the entire square, you need more. How much more, says the Gemara Michti? How much greater is a square over a circle? How much more perimeter is there by a square over a circle? Ravia, a quarter. A square is 1/4 bigger than a circle. No. So go from 12 to 16. Bishisr Sagi. So 16 tvachim should be enough. Why do you need, in order to make your 4x4 window, why do you need it to be 24? The circle to be 24. 16 of a circle is already 1/4 bigger. That should be enough to be a perimeter of 4x4, which, by the way, 4x4 is actually exactly 16. That should be enough for 4x4 for a square. Gemara says, "Avi Taina, hani mi igula denafik megav ribua." When you have a circle that's inside a square, then you're right. The square is bigger than the circle, just that exact amount, 25%. Av ribua denafik megav igula bein tvei. Over here, we're doing opposite. We want to create a 4x4 square within the circle. So you have the circle is going to be over larger around the square, with the square inside of the circle completely encompassed, so you still need more. Says the Gemara, Avru the Nafim Megav Igula, when you have the square coming within the circle, you need Tvei, you need more than that. My Taima, why Mishamar Shetikarnasa? Because the corners protrude. Okay, says the Gemara, we're good at math. We know what are the corners protruding. The corners are giving you the diagonals. You have to worry about the diagonals. So your circle should only have to be at least as big as 3 times the longest diagonal. A square, right, which is a square which is 4x4, a square, and this, by the way, is ultimately true. The square which is 4x4, 4x4 tvachim. So the diagonal of that should be roughly 1.4 times 4 is 5.6. So if your diagonal is 5.6, so you should have 3 times 5.6 to get to your diameter is 5.6. 3 times the diameter should be your circumference. 3 times 5.6 is 15 plus 0.6 times 3 is 1.8, is 16.8, is just a little less than 17. Says the Gemara Michti, Kol Amsa Birbua, Amsa Trechem Shibel Chzayna. any amma, which is a square, when you make diagonal, you get 1 2/5. 1.4 is the diagonal. B'shif sirichi chum shesagi. So 17 minus a fifth, which is what we said, 16.8 should be the right amount. And first we discussed if it's exactly 16.8 or it should be a little more. But the point is, it's right around there, should be enough. Why do you need 24? Says the Gemara, you're right. Rabbi Yechon Amar ki dain de kisri. Rabbi Yechon was saying is ruling like the judges of Kesaria. Vamilek rabban de kisri, either the judges or the chum of Kesaria. The Amri, you said igula megavri bua revia. They said a circle that's inside a square, a circle in a square is a quarter less. A ribua megavri gula palga. A square inside a circle is less by half. So if a square inside a circle is less by half, you have to add another half. Adding another half gets you, instead of getting you to 16 or to 17 minus little, it gets you to 24. The question is, it's still not a right number. It's still incorrect. That's the Pella. It's a big Pella. The Mefarshim are very busy discussing what's the pshat that the Rishonim are very bothered. What's the pshat that it seems like the Rabbanim, the Dayanim of Kesri made a mistake, or the Rabbanim, the Dayanim or the Rabbanim made a mistake. What's the pshat? Now, a simple explanation to make it work, if you want to fit the words fit beautifully. You can make the words fit like exactly what we said. Rivua migav igula palga. When you have a square within a circle, it's smaller by a half. You know what I mean, smaller by a half? The perimeter of the square, let's say in our case, how big is the square? The perimeter of the square, let's say, is 16, right? The perimeter of the square is 16. When you say it is smaller by a half, so if it's smaller than by half the square, that would make the circle 24. So I'm not sure how to make the word shtim, but either way, it doesn't help for Bechanan. At the end of the day, Rabbi Yechon is still saying it's 24. So Rabbi Yechon is still going to be shver. Exactly. Either way, there was a way to make the words, I saw it earlier today, to make the words of the Dayanim perhaps shtim by touching it differently, but either way, it doesn't help for Rabbi Yechon. And the first discussed, Shulchan Aruch, just to be clear, Shulchan Aruch passes like the Gemara's question on Rabbi Yechon. Shulchan Aruch brings that what is the shear that you have to have in your round window? What is the shear that you have to have in order to have a circumference which can contain a square? What's the shear? The shear is exactly what we just said. The shear is a circumference that is like the Gemara said, that it's got to be 16 and 4/5, not more than that. Once it's 16 and 4/5, you're able to have the 4 by 4 in the middle, and that's fine. Says the Gemara Vayder. Pachas me'arba al arba. We said if it's less than 4 by 4, it doesn't work. So the Mishnah said that the window between chatzeres has to be 4 by 4. Rav Nachman makes a qualification. Amar Rav Nachman, leishanu el chalent shebein shtei chatzeres, av chalent shebein shtei batim, afila malim asar nami imrat al arav ma'arvin. So, sorry, I focused on the 4x4, but the main part that we're focused on over here is it has to be within 10 tefachim of the ground. So Rav Nachman says, this has to be within 10 tefachim of the ground, is dafka when it's petitu chatzeris. When it's petitu batim, not a problem. And we had this svar before in the Masechta. Why? My time of basic command of mali dummy. This is an interesting svar. We've had it early in the Masechta. We view a house as if it's full. The house, we don't see the height. So if the house is full, it's like as if the house is full of sand, or it's full of, it's a discussion actually, what is the fullness of the house? And it'll be relevant to Shalom Mar is going to ask in a few lines for now. But let's assume the fullness of the house is this furniture there, the stuff there, and therefore we raise the ground. The ground is always raised. It's considered full. Once it's full, your window, no matter where it is on the wall, and I say that on purpose because we're going to have a discussion when it's on the ceiling, there might be a Shalom about that. When it's on the wall, Rav Nachman is saying, it doesn't make a difference how high it is, that's going to be fine. Ace Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman, look at the following Bryce. The following Bryce seems to say clearly, whether it's a chalain between chateres, whether it's a chalain between houses, whether it's a chalain between two second stories, two attics, or it's a chalain window between two rooftops, or chalain between two rooms that are owned by different inhabitants, we know, as a regular din of Erevin. So what's the halacha in all these cases? Kulan arba l'arba b'seichasara. They all have to be a window of 4x4, that stays the same, within 10 tefachim. Clearly, it spoke about the window between two batim, and it said, and the window, by the way, between two rooms is all the same. According to Rav Nachman, it should be fine. You say, command the mali dummy, it should be fine, even though it's above 10 tefachim. And here we're saying, clearly, this to be within 10 tefachim. It's a clear right for the brisa, not like Rav Nachman, says the Gemara. Rav Nachman will answer back to Rava, Tirgum HaChaseris. When the brisa said it's gotta be within 10 tefachim, it's going on the Chaseris. For Echeli, Katani, kept saying, Echeli, side to side that. Echeli is pretty clear, it's not going on Chaseris. Rav says, you're right. Tirgum HaChaseris, so Rav Nachman answers, Tirgum HaArba Arba. It's going on the din of 4x4. 4x4 tefachim, that would makbet in all those cases. But within 10, we're talking about makbet. So we talk the flex. It's a little bit, it sounds a little bit of a deichik, but the flex that the brisa doesn't mean that you need them all to be within 10 tefachim. The other ones are automatically considered within 10 tefachim. It's the 4x4 that we were stressing by all these cases, but the cases that are considered houses or rooms or the like, could be even above ten tochim. Chatzayr is takas stuff to be within ten tochim, even according to Rav Nachman. By me, Rav Abba, Rav Nachman. So Rav asked Rav Nachman following shayla. Lola pesuach, what's that? Wait to the end. Lola pesuach, min a bayis aliyah. If you have an overhead window, that's a window like almost like a skylight, but it's not a skylight because there's an attic on top. It's not a skylight, so it's a window in the ceiling essentially. You have it really is like a passageway to get through from the first floor to the second floor. L'chayra. So lola pesuach min a bayis aliyah, a window that opens from the ground floor to the attic. Tzarech sulam kavul atirei. Do you need a sulam kavua to matrit? Which means a little chazara. We had on that nuntes. We have a ladder that serves as a way to get through from one area to another area as a pesach. That ladder could have a status of a pesach. A ladder, since it's a way of like a staircase, it's a way to get from one side to the other. That's okay. It's considered a pesach. The shalav here is, does that have to be kavua to matrit or not? What's the lum? Sulam kavua latir. Well, it doesn't have to be a ladder kavua. What's the lum to the shaila? Lum to the shaila is really getting back to this other conversation of Nachman. Rav Nachman just posited that when you have a house, it's considered full all the time. You have no ground. So once it's considered full all the time, I don't see that I need the ladder all the time to get through because it's as if my ground is ready at the top at the height of the ceiling. Or not. Lemais, you need the ladder to be there in order to give the status of this opening to be considered a real Pesach in order to join, be able to join these two into one air. Says Gemara, me I'm reading a basic command Mali Dami. Do you see the house command Mali Dami like we've been saying? Hani mili min atzad av emzalei dafkul agavi the tzad. When you want to pass through opening on the side of the wall, that's what we say. But from top to bottom, in the middle of the house, to say it's full, to be able to go from the middle of the room up to the next floor, that not demolition or makes no difference. The first we get involved with this, there's a shalih and the lumdus. How does it work when we say that it's filled up? What's it filled up with? Is it that the air is full, or is that there's actually furniture there? They want to make a distinction in how we're learning how it's filled up. But that's the basic shalih. Does it work even in the middle of the house or only to the side by the walls? Amalei in itzarek Rav said. The taco works even in the middle of the house. You do not need the ladder to be there, kavua, because even in the middle of the house, we view it as if it's full, as if you're right there by this opening, and you can go right from one house to the other, and therefore it's able to be connected. It's considered a Pesach. They can make one joint Erev. Ask the Gemara one last point on this. Savar minei, not asks. The Gemara just says, matter of factly, Rabbi Abu asked the Shaila. Remember, when he laid down the Shaila, doesn't need a ladder kavua or not. That's why he asked the Shaila. So Rav Nachman said, it doesn't need a ladder kavua. So Rabbi Abba thought, okay, it doesn't need a kavua, but at least needs a ladder at some point. Says Gemara, Savar Sulam kavu ain't tzarech. Hasulam right tzarech. It doesn't need a ladder that's kavua there, but a ladder that's there sometimes, at some point, to have a ladder that you don't have to leave it there all week. But at least for Shabbos, let's say, you need a ladder there at some point to be kaveya. There's a way of passage from one to the other. Maybe at least for Shabbos, it's got to be there. But it's not true. Itmar hasulam right tzarech. Itmar Amar Vesiv Bar Miyami Amar Rav Nachman. That's the one who's giving the answer in this whole sugya. He says that what echad sulam kavua vechad sulam aray ain't tzarech. His answer was you don't need any sulam at all. The space is considered full. You don't need a sulam there, not during the week, not even on Shabbos. You don't need a sulam there. Once there's an opening and the space, the house is considered full. You're able to make a pesach between the two, and you're able to make one joint erev and not an issue. We'll pick it up for Yom Hashem tomorrow.